When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to season four. I know, unbelievable, season four of The Shift, the podcast that aims to tell the no holds barred truth about being a woman post 40, created and hosted by me, journalist and author, Sam Baker. I'm thrilled to kick off this season with today's guest, Mel Gedroych. And yeah, I did practice that 935 times. Mel is, she reckons, the more punctual half of beloved comedy duo Mel and Sue, an actress, writer, and, drumroll, national treasure, thanks to the best part of 7 years spent eating cake. Nice gig if you can get it, Mel. And now, the bloody overachiever has written her debut novel, The Best Things, which is as warm, hilarious, and full of pin-sharp observation as you'd expect.
I'm doing what I'm doing. I am who
I am what I am.
And that's it. There's not really much I can change. No, of course I can change, but, you know, the intrinsics are kind of there and they're set in stone. So if you don't like it, babes, sorry.
Mel talks ironing and asks the big question, who actually irons? The terror of hitting the financial skids and walking away from the bake-off payday, being a menopause dodger, and the importance of bringing more perimenopausal characters to our screens. And writing her first novel at 51. 51! There is hope for us all. Basically, you're annoyingly superhuman. I mean, like, duo, bit of Shakespeare, bit of Sondheim, bit of quilting, two non-fiction books, two kids, now a novel.
Listen, though,
What's
Sam.
What's going
listen.
On with you?
No, listen, thanks for that list. What that list says to me, very automatically, is, I've forgotten the saying, Jill of all trades, mistress of none. Yeah? You know what I'm saying? Why not just do one thing and do it really well, apart from sort of hopping like some annoying frog between various lily pads?
My question. Would a bloke say that?
Oh, you've got me. You've absolutely got me. Right, erase that and let's pretend I didn't say that. Yes, Sam. Yes, all of those things. Yes.
Let's talk about the book a bit first. Because that's what you're here for, let's face it. So let's do the bit that will get me into trouble with your publicist if we don't do it. I finished The Best Things last night and I loved it. I loved it.
Thank you very much indeed. It was quite different from anything that I've ever done before in the sense that I was totally on my own. I usually sort of work in a gang or, of course, with Sue, which is our little gang of two. So when you're out there doing something completely on your own, it is a bit weird.
It is, isn't it?
I went to the local library every day. I would get there in a slightly OCD way at 5:02 every morning, 5 to 9, and I'd be the first in the queue so I could make sure that I sat in the same chair every day. This was winter 2019. This was a whole life ago. And I found that really, really got me going. It spurred me on because I thought, I'm sitting in a chair in quite a quiet space. There's nothing else to do. I've just got to get down and do this. So that was good, actually. I enjoyed that.
Did you have to leave the house to do it?
I think so. There's too many distractions, aren't there? It's just too... I don't know about you, but I would rather do anything, literally anything. I'd rather, you know, sort out my own ingrown toenails with a credit card and some boiling water than actually have to sit down and write. Are you like that, Sam?
Totally. The minute you start working from home... You know, because I'm institutionalized because I worked in an office for like decades. Right. And so the minute you start working from home, you're like, oh, in emptiest laundry basket the country.
Yes. I find doing laundry really, really satisfying, actually. That's one of the great pleasures of lockdown. I've really got into my laundry in a major way. I love it. I love the whole thing.
Are you an ironer?
No.
Oh, God, I know.
No. And I'm really happy to say that the last time I plugged the iron in, it fused the whole ground floor of the house. And so it can never be used again. Thank God. Who irons? Who irons?
I'm going to get loads of comments now from people going, I iron. And I think you'll find that your clothes last longer if you iron. Just don't buy clothes that need it. That's what I say.
Well, I think, wouldn't clothes last less long if you iron them? Because you're applying extremely hot steam to them. Isn't that going to wear them down and bring the colour out?
I don't know, something I've ever thought about, to be honest. Never given any thought to that at all.
I like ironing the odd handkerchief, something like that that's really easy, but it's when you bring in coughs and colours, coughs and collars even. When you bring all that to the table, I'm just thinking, oh no. This is too much. Some people really like ironing in front of the telly, don't they?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Oh, I don't know, no.
I'd rather play Candy Crush in front of a telly, frankly, but that might be me. Tell me about Sally Parker.
Oh, Sally Parker. So she is the centrifugal force of the book. She's, I hope, a heroine that you may not start to like her particularly, but I hope that by the end of the book you do like her and feel for kind of what she's going through. I think probably you might have had or have met a Sally Parker in your life. I think most people have. She's the sort of woman that seems to have the perfect life. I've met people like that. They seem to just, they iron or they have stuff ironed for them. They're groomed. Everything's clean. Everything's pressed. They don't seem to have a care in the world. They have somebody providing for them. Okay, they're a bit of a trophy wife. But you sort of think, well, okay, you've made that choice. That's fine. You're living a lovely, lovely, lovely life. Of course, you don't know kind of what's going on behind the scenes or underneath the surface. And that's kind of what I was really interested in, was the idea of this kind of perfect seeming life. But there are cracks, there are holes in the tights, you know, there's stuff underneath I wanted to explore.
What do you want people to take away from it?
I think I want people to take away the idea that you don't need much in life to make you happy. I think what I'm saying is there are more important things in life than the material things. And again, I'm speaking from a position of being in a comfortable situation at the moment. I mean, that could all change very quickly.
Exactly.
Anyway, yeah.
Are you in the bedroom now? Is that what I can see behind you? In the bedroom.
I'm in the bedroom. Oh, it's a weird time, isn't it? It's a weird time. And actually, it's quite a strange time for this particular book to come out in a funny way, because I wrote it before the pandemic had hit. There wasn't a whiff of any of that in the news or anything like that. And it's a story which is kind of saying, look around you at what you've got. You know, enjoy your family. You might not know them very well. Try to get to know them. You don't need material goods to have happiness. And then here we are, cut to a year later, and suddenly we're in circumstances which we are surrounded by our family, potentially, or those close to us a lot, like a real lot. And a lot of us are in a position where we're going, okay, when's the next paycheck coming?
Totally.
It's weird. I've written a story which kind of preempts that, but I had no idea I was going to preempt that, if you know what I mean.
How are you getting on with your teenage daughters in lockdown?
So I've got one who should be at art school. She's doing a foundation, but she's taken the art foundation very much home. So we've got the garden shed as her studio, and I can't really see into it because there's such a massive fog of smoke. And the noise of Jimi Hendrix and Talk Talk and Joni Mitchell and Suede is so intense, you can't even get through. But when you do actually open the door, there's a sort of billow of smoke and noise, and you can just about make her little figure out. She's permanently wearing a beret, which I'm very, very glad to see. She seems to be quite happy. I'm a bit worried about the smoking, but you know, what can you do? She's 18. I was a very heavy smoker by the time I was 14. So I can't really say to her, look, you shouldn't be smoking, but hopefully she'll realise pretty soon that it's not very good for you. And the other one is in lower six. So she's on her A-level courses, and I passed her room just before I started talking to you, Sam, and she's doing drama A-level, and all I could hear was a sort of coming from the other side of the bedroom wall. So I assume everything's okay.
I was going to say, what the hell is she doing?
I'm imagining some sort of physical warm-up or getting into some sort of character. I don't know. All I know is the broadband width in this house is stretched to the absolute ruddy limit. I mean, we're all four of us are here trying to sort of do our thing.
Yeah, I don't want to tempt fate because we haven't had any of those problems yet. But that the number of times you just watch it fall over, because it's not, you know, there are four people or six people in the house all trying to use the broadband at the same time. And
oh, God, Sam.
I know. How desperate you should leave the house. I am desperate, honestly.
I just really... Sorry, that's the Hoover going. You might hear a slight whining in the background. It's not the dog or the children. It's the Hoover.
Oh, but it's somebody else hoovering. That's good.
Yes. My husband's got quite into the hoovering, actually. That's very, it's a good sign, isn't it? It's a good sign.
Yeah, very dear. Don't rock that boat.
I know. I just, the idea of sitting in a cinema with lots of people, watching something like Rocky Horror, just some big kind of event like that, I just, oh, I yearn for something like that. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
I just haven't been to the cinema since I went to see, don't judge me, Paddington 2 at the cinema. Oh,
listen. One of the finest films made. Have you got it on DVD?
Great film, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've watched it about 45 times.
It's brilliant, Sam. Isn't Hugh Grant just a revelation in it?
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant.
He's so good. It's the best thing he's ever done, I think. He's so good at comedy, Hugh Grant. And I prefer him now he's older. I don't know, there's just something more real about him now. When he was doing all that kind of frippy, froppy, floppy fringe stuff.
Being a floppy-haired love interest.
Yeah, I just think now he's got the grit, man. He's hilarious. I love him.
Now, I'm obviously going to say, do you think the same thing applies to women?
What do you mean? The older we get, the better we are.
That actresses are allowed to kind of get better and stop being the floppy head love interest and...
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I think people in general just get more interesting the older they get. I say that, frankly, because I'm getting older. I'm just clinging on to anything, any straws that I can. But no, I think experience is everything, actually. Wrinkles are everything. Experience, life experience, being around the blockness, worn in, women, men, bring it all on. Also, I'm sorry, but it's such a kind of lovely breath of fresh air when you see a woman, particularly on screen, that hasn't had all the tightening and the and all the whatever they do to their faces. It really is an actual relief to see that. I love Emma Thompson for that reason. She says in public often that, you know, she hasn't had anything done and she wouldn't have anything done. I kind of think, oh man, that is good. I think she even said one of her posters for a film that she did a couple of years ago, she was in her contract that she did not want it airbrushed. I just think, come on, my friend, that's a relief, isn't it?
It really is. Do you feel like your opportunities have got more, less, not changed as you've got older?
I would say different and more interesting, actually. I don't know if you find this, but I think you care less, don't you, about certain things the older you get. I think when you're in your 20s, it's very much sort of, what's everyone else doing? There's that sort of awful competitive thing. What's everyone else doing? Oh, am I doing? What am I doing? You know, that thing. And then in your 30s, you start to sort of go, okay, I think I vaguely know what's going on here. Not really. Then in your 40s, it kind of starts settling in. And then in your 50s, you're settled in a bit and also just thinking, I don't really care what other people think about me anymore. And that's a big relief. It's a revelation. Yeah. I'm doing what I'm doing. I am who I am, what I am. And that's it. There's not really much I can change. No, of course I can change, but you know, the intrinsics are kind of there and they're set in stone. So if you don't like it, babes, sorry. I don't care.
Do you feel a lot more confident in yourself now?
I wouldn't say confident. I'd say just I've got less of a grip on things. And that gives you a sort of slightly devil may care fearlessness. Probably. I wouldn't put it down to confidence. I just think it's, just let it all go now. Let it all go. The year we've all had, let it all go. what will be, let's just make the best of what we can.
That's true. It's like there's no way you could have predicted all this.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And also, I do, and I don't want to sound like some kind of awful preachy person, but I just feel so thankful for what I've got. I think the small things really, really just mean a hell of a lot more now than they did a year ago. And that's good. It's good. It's good to have a sort of a reset on the default button, maybe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Back in, where was it? Were you in your 40s when you had your kind of house moment?
Oh, yes. Now, hang on.
That must have inspired Sally, did it?
Yeah, approaching 40. Yes. And at the time, I'd been working a bit, sort of making ends meet. Wasn't doing tons of telly, was doing a lot of childcare with my husband, doing half and half as much as we could. Doing theatre jobs, bits and bobs. And then, yeah, we hit the sort of financial skids. We pushed the boat out too much, buying a house, borrowing too much money, couldn't really afford it. And then, yeah, it all came to a bit of a crunch moment. And we had to sell the house, couldn't sell it, had a year of sleepless nights, just thinking we're getting more and more into the financial doo-doo. Look, I know a lot of people go through this.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people go through this for a lot of many different reasons, but it's not the best. It's not the best. Thankfully, we managed to sell the house. That was the key thing. And we rented a very tiny place and we did it through a friend of a friend of a friend sort of thing. So we did it for cash. I know. But we had to. That was just the way we had to go. And it was good, actually. It was really good. Not good all of the time, but it was good to have to cut our cloth, as my mum called it, not to borrow these ridiculous sums of money that don't really exist and that you can't pay back. That's right. I had an ad campaign. That's what it was. I was doing an ad campaign for Kingsmill. Sue and I were doing it. And stupidly, I just thought, well, that keeps us going. We'll do a couple of ads a year and we don't have to do much else.
Nice work if you can get it.
Nice work if you can get it. And it's a kind of work that doesn't really stick around for long because the letter came through the door saying we don't want you anymore, bye-bye. And then you're left with nothing. So note to self, just make sure you've got some good solid work underneath you rather than ephemeral, ludicrous adverts. That was a big lesson.
Yeah, God. And do you think that changed your...
Changed kind everything.
Of everything, yeah.
Absolutely. It made me more robust. It made me think, why do I need a huge house? You know, what does this mean? It made me think we can live on a lot less. We were quite happy, actually. We were quite carefree in a way because we didn't have a mortgage. We were renting. And that was, you know, again, I know lots of people listening are out there and they're renting and they're thinking, oh my God, I'd love to own a place. I think everything is a double-edged sword, isn't it? For us, renting was the best thing because we didn't have that saddling mortgage around the necks that we couldn't pay. So everything in context, I suppose. Yeah, it was interesting times. And definitely this idea of a story like this was sown because I was going through it myself, although not in any way remotely like Sally Parker. I mean, they're living life on a big, supersized scale. You know, she's got a husband who's a hedge fund manager. My husband, I can tell you, is not a hedge fund manager, which I'm quite pleased about. They are living this opulent, affluent, kind of crazy life with this wheeler dealer alpha male husband who's burning the cash. And she, Sally Parker, my heroine, is also burning the cash, although she doesn't really quite know where the cash comes from. But as long as it keeps coming in, she's sort of fine. Loads of kids, nanny, basement gym, cinema, blah, 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 you know, living the life. And then suddenly, boom, it all gets stripped away.
You're the youngest, aren't you, of four?
Of four, yeah. Yes, I am. Yeah, it's a busy old thing being in a family of four kids. You never quite know who's doing what when you've got more than two kids, I think. You can't quite keep a track on everyone. And mum and dad, particularly the older I got, they got so tired, you know. They'd done it three times already. They couldn't really quite be bothered with number four.
Yeah.
But it gives you an amazing freedom, actually, because you don't have these helicoptering parents kind of analysing your every move all the time. And I think that's very freeing. I felt totally free, actually, It's an amazing thing they gave me, really. Benign neglect.
And you're really close, aren't you, to the sister above you, Koki?
Yeah, yeah, we're very good pals. I mean, I'm very good pals with all my sibs. I love them all dearly. But I think because we're the closest to each other in age and we've had children around the same kind of time, we've always lived very near each other. So we've always helped out with each other's childcare, which I couldn't have survived. Oh, I couldn't have done it otherwise. Oh, it makes me feel...
Yeah. Yeah. The idea of doing it. Yeah.
No, because the four of us, so me, my husband, my sister and her husband are all freelance. So odds on at least one is unemployed at any given time. It's just that's just, you know, statistics. So that person would scoop up all the children, and that it was really lucky.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. That constant.
The cousins. Yeah, it's good. It's good, actually. I'm glad we did it that way. I mean, it wasn't without its roller coaster, bum clenchy moments, but, you know, we got through.
I hate to bring Sue in because I've been listening to loads of podcasts and you go, oh, bloody hell, not her again. But obviously you've got your 30-year friendship with her and you're close with Koki. Is that like, a female friendship's important to you?
Yeah, they are everything. They're absolutely everything to me. And I really enjoyed writing the scenes in the novel with the female friends, because Sally Parker has this circle of female friends, mainly that she's met through her children.
Yeah, the school gate thing.
I mean, it is classic, and I'm not dissing mum groups at all because I've got a couple of really, really good pals that I've met that way. But it is quite a weird thing that you're thrown together with lots of women that you don't really know from Adam or Eve. And you just know each other because you've got this link through your children, and you spend a lot of time with them. You spend a lot of chat. And I found that really good, rich territory. Sally feels like a sort of square peg. She doesn't know what she is in this group, and they're quite toxic, actually. I've written them. They're a bit gruesome, I must say.
They are pretty, yeah. One of them in particular, but, you know,
I sort of, I suppose, did that for comic effect rather than
for the reality.
Although you do meet occasionally people like that. You do meet people like that who, I don't know what it is. It's jealousy, isn't it? It's sort of whatever it is that makes people rather nasty.
Well, we all had, I'm assuming, I don't know whether you had that thing at school where, you know, there was that girl and she had all her hangers on. You know, she'd say something bitchy and they'd all titter and you just say, man, is this like forever? You think you leave school and you get away from it, but no, it follows you as you go through life stages.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I think Sally, who's my heroine, she was not that popular at school because she's so seemingly perfect. She's so pretty and that sort of girl that boys love, the one they want to look after, you know, the trophy wife. And she has to just bust through that and come through Thelma and Louise styly. You know, she has to get rid of the hairdo and the makeup and the clothes and all that and just show her true colours, actually. I'm a big fan of that sort of heroine that has to go through the mill a bit.
I love how she reverts. It's not too spoilery, is it? She basically starts wearing those clothes that you wore when you were 18 or 20. Did you wear those clothes, that kind of military outlet?
Solidly, Sam. Let's go through from top to bottom. We're talking beret, obs.
Drama student, weren't you?
Yeah. I wasn't a drama student, actually. I failed to get into 3 drama schools. I would have donned the beret in the name of Thespos if I'd had the chance, Sam. Sadly, that was never given to me. Military beret. Then we all had those gas mask bags in the 80s. Did you ever have one of those? Gas mask bag, some kind of boiler suit, dungarees, of course, donkey jacket, and then down to the monkey boot at the bottom with a sort of scout sock, some kind of thick worsted scout sock in the boot.
I hate to say that I'm actually wearing some of those now.
Worsted socks. Oh, look. Oh, they're lovely.
I love a cozy sock. I'm sorry. Maybe I've never grown out of it.
I know. I think cozy socks rule. In fact, anything cozy, particularly at the moment, is just an absolute boon, isn't it? Have you got a slanket?
No, I haven't got a slanket.
I haven't got one either. Is that the beginning of the end if you get a slanket? That's what I want to know.
So there are some things you can go like, oh, it's great being 50 because, and I think you can like get away with tea and knitting, quilting, whatever. But I think a slanket might be a touch too far. It reminds me of those, you know, those big slippers you get both your feet in that your granny used to have, like a hoof, a big furry hoof. That's
big
it. You're
furry
over.
Hoof, Sam. I'm not. Yes, I know all about a big furry hoof. That's what lockdown does for you. Let's not even go there.
Well, now we have. Sorry, I wasn't. That wasn't my like really appalling link into into menopause chat. But since we've gone there, that would possibly be the worst link in the history of anything, wouldn't it?
I love it. I love it.
How are your hormones?
Do you know what? I need to read up about what's going on. I'm a real head in the sand merchant. I know that something's changing, but I need to read up about it. Honestly, Sam, I'm awful like that. I'm awful. In my head, I'm still 14 and I'm out there on my bike just kind of going, way! And I
That's
need
fair enough.
I need to face up to the fact that things are changing.
No, you don't, if you feel all right.
I'm awful. I'm really bad at talking. I'm like my mum. I've become my mum. I can't talk about all that sort of stuff without euphemisms. It's just really embarrassing. But everything is as it should be, but it's not, if you know what I mean. I'm on the turn. Yeah. I'm Perry. I must be Perry. Am I Perry? How long is Perry?
Well, that's like one of life's big questions.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's Perry like
it can
years.
Be really long. Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
Perry is the menopause thing, really.
Is it? So yeah. The brain is fudgy.
Yeah.
Very, very fudgy. So yesterday, for example, there's this brilliant book called Iron Actor, which is the funniest book, basically taking the piss out of the whole thespian world you will ever find. And it's written by Nicholas Craig, who is the pseudonym of, and I couldn't remember his name. And I was just saying to Ben, he was in The Young Ones. He played Neil the Hippie.
Nigel Planer.
Nigel Planer, thank you. It took me 6 hours to bring Nigel Planer's name. And I mean, I love Nigel Planer. It's really weird. Is that Perry? Is that Perry?
I think so. Yeah. That brain fog thing.
The brain memory. Fog.
Yeah. I mean, I've never left my phone in the fridge, but I hear people have.
Yeah. I left mine in the recycling bin the other day.
That's not good.
Oh, God. And it was 3 days. I mean, it was lovely not having the phone. It was lovely not having the phone, but knowing that it was somewhere, but that I just couldn't access it. And Ben had said, go and look in the recycling bin. I was like, don't be ridiculous. Who leaves their phone outside in a big recycling? Of course, there it was. And I had to go through all the crap. Anyway, first world ruddy problems.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it is a bit, isn't it? Because a lot of the women I spoke to said, oh, well, it just feels like you're the butt of the joke. Once you're perimenopausal, you're a bit hot, a bit brain foggy or angry. And then you get a bit like puffy around the middle. And so you're like the joke character in the sitcom. So what we need is to embrace it and give us characters that we'll all identify with. So that's your project, your next project.
Yeah, no, okay, I'll take that. I'll give Sue a call and I'll say, right, I've got a mission. We're on a mission. We're not going to stop until Sue's in an iron lung and I'm sort of in some, you know, care home. So we'll keep going on that. Good. There's no point trying to pretend to be something that you're not, is there?
No, exactly.
There really isn't. There's no point. You will be found out and you will look silly.
Do you and Sue ever get sick of each other?
I would say, in all honesty, no, actually. I mean, we've been pals since 1988. So that's 32 years, isn't it?
Yes,
that's a long time. And we've worked together a lot. I mean, I think it's healthy to do stuff individually, and we both enjoy doing that. I think we'd be completely lying if we didn't say, oh, it's great to do stuff individually, and then it's an extra treat to come together and do something together, I suppose. She continually makes me laugh. That is the thing. And I hope vice versa. and that does keep you just... It keeps you invested, doesn't it? If you can laugh, if you like to laugh, then the person that provides that is just always going to be somebody that you love to spend time with. And she makes me howl with laughter. I mean, really properly. And we egg each other on, you know, there's that. We just egg each other on. We laugh ridiculously. Nobody else does for a minute, but at least we do, Sam.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
No, she's a very, very good egg. We're too old now to, you know, sort of say, oh, well, I'm not going to see you again. You know, it's just, there's too much history. I've known her over half my life. That's bizarre, isn't it?
Is it longer than your husband?
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is longer than my husband. It's weird, so isn't it?
That's your formative relationship.
It probably
perks.
Is. Yeah, it probably is, actually. I think a double act is more intense than a marriage. Definitely. I guess... There's the pressure of just performing, isn't it? It's the pressure of being out there, and you've got to keep it all together for the audience. I suppose a marriage is just within itself in a way, isn't it? Funny. Weird. Amazing.
Very weird. And now you're national treasures.
Oh, don't say that.
It does make you sound old, doesn't it?
Old. Old and past it, literally. Yes. All right, dear. We've had enough of you now. We're going to just wheel you through over here. That's right. All right, dear. It's that, isn't it? That's National Treasure.
Good. Yeah. I didn't watch it because I haven't got Sky, so I couldn't have watched it. But Hitmen, you described it as a perimenopausal Killing Eve, which I absolutely loved. Will there be more of that kind of thing, do you think?
Yeah. Do you know what? We were supposed to film in the autumn and then it got put back, and we were supposed to be filming in 2 weeks' time, and that's been put back. So where are we at the moment? Hopefully we'll film it in the spring. That's the plan anyway. The lads, the men, the guys who've written it are extremely good. They're young'uns, they're sort of 30, 31, just very, very good eggs. And they've written a second series, which I'm just so excited about. I think it's taken the first series and just, I don't know, taken it somewhere else. It's really, it's so fun to do and a joy to work with Sue, which I won't have done for blooming months and months. So that'll be really fun. Just fingers crossed that we get to do it, you know. I don't think you can rely on anything anymore.
No. Is this the longest amount of time between you working together?
It probably is, actually. Yeah, it probably is. There were patches when my kids were really young that it just wasn't really workable. And Sue was out doing stand-up and doing stuff on her own, which is completely great. And I was at home a lot and then trying to just fit in other little bits and bobs. So it all went a bit shambolic. And it was really Bake Off that sort of brought us back together, I suppose, after a bit of time of not doing stuff together. So extra joy to the Bake Off for that. Very, very grateful to Bake Off in very many ways.
Bake Off is probably responsible for the National Treasure thing, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think we are National Treasure. I really don't think so. I mean, I'll take it. If someone says that, I'll go, oh, don't be ridiculous, but thank you. I think you have to do a lot more stuff in your life to garner that. I don't know.
Was it hard to walk away?
It was very hard because it was a lovely gig. And
all that cake.
All the cake. We really enjoyed it. It was very regular. We knew in our diaries, that's the Bake Off filming time. You know, it's the first regular job I think either of us had ever really had, to be honest, age 40. Yeah. So we did it for 7 years and it was very hard to walk away. Yeah, it was, but it felt like the right thing to do and it still feels like the right thing to do. And I sort of think, you know, I talk about this with Sue occasionally, it's like, it's good to leave the party before the sandwiches have curled up at the edges. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's good to leave something when it feels fresh and it doesn't feel like, oh God, we've got to do Bake Off again.
again.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. We loved, genuinely, we loved every year of the seven that we had the fortune to be doing that job. And that's pretty blooming good, isn't it, to say that of work that you've done, that you enjoyed 7 years.
Yeah, pretty unusual. Was it hard to walk away from the money, given, you know, the problems that you'd had?
Yes, it was. It was terrifying. Actually, it was terrifying because for that reason, I'd had a very big financial bump those years before. So to be in a situation where it was like jumping off into the void was terrifying. But I think you need a bit of fear in your life just to keep you going and remind you that you're alive, actually. I've always told myself that. You've got to have a little bit of fear in there to keep things gingered up.
There's a little bit of fear and there's a lot of fear.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose on a practical level, I thought, well, the kids are older now, so it's not like they're toddlers at home and I need to be at home in the same way that I definitely did before. So I kind of thought, this is going to be all right. There'll be interesting things that open up. I've got to keep positive. And yeah, it felt like the right thing to do. And I wouldn't have written a book. I would not have written the book. Or maybe I would have written the book. I don't think I would have done, because I'd have felt too, everything's fine, you know, everything's comfortable. You know, you need some spice, don't you? You need some grit and some spice.
Sounds like a terrible curry. Yeah, moving on to the savouries. Are you a bit of a risk taker?
Yeah, I think so. I think I am. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of scary when you think, right, I'm now taking a risk for four people as opposed to taking a risk just for myself. That is a bit. But yeah, I say risk taker. Come on. I mean, I've got a very lovely life doing a job that I love. Okay, there are ups and downs, but everyone has ups and downs. I just feel very blessed that I'm doing a job that I love. It's an amazing thing, actually, that. But I think you need a bit of fear and scariness and risk just to keep your edges sharp. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. It is a bit like if you're not a bit scared occasionally, I think that's not a good thing.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be scared all the time, but a little bit of fear in the workplace.
Yeah. Are you going to write another novel?
Yes, I am. I am, Sam. I've got the bug now. I really, really enjoyed it. Do you know what I loved about it? I loved the fact that, because I've written scripts before that have never made it anywhere because they've been overcomplicated or they haven't been good enough, or people have said, oh yeah, but how are you going to find the budget for that? With a novel, you can take your characters anywhere, anytime, any place. It's so liberating. I loved that. And I loved the fact, okay, I had this amazing editor, Charisse Hobbs at Headline, who I just adore. She's fantastic. And she was there, you know, a good sort of guiding hand, and she came up with some really good suggestions, and she reined me in when I needed to be reined in, and she encouraged me at other times, and you know, a great editor, you know what a great editor's like. But you don't have that person kind of saying, oh no, you can't do that, no sorry, you can't do that, or oh well, who are you going to cast, oh you can't cast that person, no you can't. It's so freeing when you're reading a book. You can imagine everyone has a different idea of who that character is, don't they? You're not casting someone. You're not saying, oh, that person's going to play that person. It's just, I found it tremendously liberating, the whole thing. I loved it. I love the idea of people reading it and reading it in their own heads and in their own space. I love the idea of people reading it on public transport. I do a lot of reading on the tube when allowed. It's very special reading on public transport. I love it. It's just, you're with other people, which I love. You're in a gang. But then you're just totally on your own. It's great, isn't it? Do you read on public transport?
Well, I used to a lot when we used to go
back
anywhere.
Back in the day.
I had years of commuting. The amount of time I've spent on trains, I look back and think that's insane. It was like 3 hours a day or something. But you can read a lot of books.
It's that real guilty pleasure, isn't it, of just being on your own in this crowd. And you can't do anything else in the time. That's what's lovely about it. Mm. So you don't feel, oh, I should be doing something else. You can't do anything else. You're on a train or you're on a tube or a bus. It's just a really nice feeling, that.
Do you like an audiobook?
Do you know, I'm very, very, very late to the table when it comes to technology. So I will get round to them. No, honestly, I can just about work the VCR now. Do you know what I'm saying? I will get there, but it'll take me. I've always got a 10-year lag with these things. I know I'm going to love audiobooks more than life itself.
I think you will, yeah.
But I also really love the feel of pages. My mum keeps saying, oh, I'll get you a Kindle. I'd love to buy you a Kindle for Christmas, but I don't really want a Kindle. I'd like pages. I like that feel of turning the page.
Mm, yeah.
I like the smell of them. Do you know what I mean? Even if it's a big old book and you're carrying it around with you on public transport and people sort of look at you weirdly. I read as I go up the escalators as well. If I'm really into something, I'll take it out of the tube, like that,
yes,
follow through,
yeah,
and up the escalator. And you get some strange looks if you're reading a kind of 900-page 19th century barnstormer of an epic and you're going up an escalator. But I just like it. Makes me feel I'm in it somehow.
What's the book that you most often push on people?
I would say I, an Actor, written by Nigel Planer under the guise of Nicholas Craig for the comedy. It is brilliant. And okay, it might be a bit of an in-joke. I probably would give that to all, like, people wanting to act or actors or whatever, friends in that kind of world. I, an Actor, so, so funny. The other book that I adored, I love Thomas Mann. I think he's just a sensational writer. My mum got me into Thomas Mann, actually. She's a big Thomas Mann fan. And he wrote a book called The Magic Mountain, which I'm sure, I don't know if you've read.
No, I haven't read any Thomas Mann, actually.
Oh, get involved, Sam. Get involved. I first read Buddenbrooks, which is one of his, and Mum just banged on about this Buddenbrooks for years. And I just thought, God, that sounds really dull. That sounds really dull. And when I was writing The Best Things, I read Buddenbrooks. It's not too similar, but it involves a rich family that come up against problems, and it is brilliant. And then that got me onto The Magic Mountain.
When I was reading The Best Things, I was thinking about the structure of it and thinking it felt
too long.
It's a big fat doorstep,
yeah,
but no, in a good way. I was thinking, was the inspiration Austen or Thackeray? Or it felt like a bit of a 19th century thing going on there.
Definitely a lot of Trollope. Anthony, not Joanna, although Joanna is marvellous. Anthony Trollope, I'm obsessed with.
Oh, you're brainy, aren't you?
No, it's not. It's not brains. I don't know what it is. It's just, I don't know what it is. I love that whole world of the 19th century epic barnstormer. I tell you what it is. I like a long book, I think, because you feel cheated when your book finishes, don't you? I feel bereft when I finish reading a book that I've been really into.
Well, like, and you storm through it, don't you? And then you're like, because you can't stop turning the pages, and then you get to the end and you're like,
it's the worst feeling, isn't it? So I think that's probably why I'm drawn to a really good chunky Dickens or a Trollope or a George Eliot or, you know, one of those, because you've got a good few weeks out of it. You really do, especially if you're just reading like an hour a day on the tube. I kind of think, brilliant, this is going to last me, for a few weeks. I mean, Trollope was prolific. The guy wrote so many ruddy books, and I'm only about halfway through, so I'm just thinking, yes, I love that.
Do you do that? Do you binge read like that? Get hold of one and go, oh, great, he wrote 35. There I go.
Yeah, I'm a really, really fast reader, which has its pros and cons. I forget most of what I've read, which is bad, which is really, really bad. I think if you're a slow reader and you get all the detail, you remember it. I'm just like that. I read really, really quickly. So, yeah,
okay, good. I've got a couple more questions that I always ask, and then I will release you. What advice would you give younger women?
To younger women, I would say, don't worry, you don't have to do everything that you want to do in the next year. I think there's that thing. I think when you're older, you look at time very, very differently. It goes extremely quickly, but you also have that big span of it behind you to sort of ruminate over. And I think when you're younger, you think you've got to do everything now or it won't happen. And I sort of think, I wrote my first novel when I was 51. So it's fine. There's loads and loads of time. Don't feel you have to do it all now.
What's your superpower?
Sleep. I'm a really good sleeper and I'm touchy. I know. I'm sorry. I know. This is awful. It's awful. Well, I say that actually now in the peri stage, 2 weeks of the month, really good sleeper. 2 weeks, not so good. But then I say, not so good. And for anyone else, that's a good sleep. When I sleep the sleep of the dead.
So you're not a big dreamer.
Yeah,
you are,
but I'm into them. Every dream is like a 19th century novel for me. It's epic. It's big. I'm in it. I'm part of it. And when I leave it, I'm desolate. I often cry in the day because I've left a brilliant dream I was in. I'm not saying I dream a brilliant dream every night. Some of them are horrible. But when you get that one epic one, those are great. You get a real Victor Hugo of a dream. Do you know what I'm saying? You're right in there in 19th century France. You are, you know, in the costume. You're living the drama. So good.
And then you wake up and you've just got to go and like microwave some porridge.
Yes, yes. Or take the skid marks out of the children's pants. Sorry, that's awful.
I'm sure your children will be delighted you just said that. Your teenage daughter's like,
oh, that's
mortified.
Awful. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
I didn't mean that. So, oh, dear.
There's quite a proliferation of skid marks in the book, actually.
I love the concept of the skid mark. It's so 70s, isn't it?
It really is.
Really 70s. It's sort of, it's scouts or brownies, isn't it? Out on some awful, you know, 3 days camping in 70s Britain and coming back with skid marks.
Were you a brownie?
No, I was never allowed to be one.
Oh.
My mum was really dubious about brownies because I think she thought they were some kind of wing of a paramilitary organisation. She really did. She was really anti the brownies.
I don't think she's wrong.
I know. Well, I did a bit of digging, though, and then I found out that my mum was not allowed to be a brownie. So she passed that down. She thought, well, they wouldn't have me for whatever reason, so I'm not going to let her. I'd have loved the brownies. Oh, my God, I'd have loved the brownies. I'd have been a really fervent brownie.
Would you have been a bossy brownie? Would you have been like a sixer or whatever they call them?
I think I'd have been the clown. I'd have been the clown in the pack. I'd have been the annoying one, you know, trying to sort of ginger things up. I'd have been awful. I'd have been truly awful.
So would your sister have been the sixer?
She would have been the arty one because you got all the badges, didn't you? She'd have had all the...
Oh, yeah.
I only had one. Oh, you were a brownie, Sam?
I was a rubbish brownie, though. Oh, really? I was rubbish. I went on camp, only lasted one night because I was scared of the dark.
Oh, no.
And I only had one badge, which was first aid, and that was because that entire squad
did it.
I didn't last. I'm not very good with, like, doing what I'm told. That's the truth.
You see, I like being in a gang because then I like to try and subvert. I never do truly subvert, but I like being in a gang just to be the wag who's going, nin, 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 you know, or whatever. It's ridiculous. It's sad.
Who is your old bird role model?
Old bird role model would be Ms. Patty LuPone, the one, the only, the absolute living legend of Broadway, still going strong, still hilarious, still amazing. I mean, she's not really an old bird. She's only 70 or something. I think she's phenomenal.
And you worked with her, didn't you?
I was very lucky to work with her. God, she's a good egg. Absolutely adore the woman. She made me howl with laughter pretty much on a daily basis. I mean, she's an outrage. She's a diva in the proper old school sense of the word, and long may she reign. She's an outrage. She's hilarious. Yeah, I need to channel her a lot, I think, especially as life goes on.
Yeah, fancy a bit of diva-ness in your future.
Yeah, but it's also just, oh, it's the comedy value. It's that thing of really not caring what people think about you. Not in a bad way. That doesn't mean that you don't care for other people. Quite the opposite. We're all so worried, aren't we, as we go through life? Or what are they going to say? Or what are they going to... And I've been like this completely, you know. Oh, dear, will that go down well? Actually, forget it. Waste of time. Go the LuPone way. That's Gino.
Okay, I didn't know whether the barking was at your end or mine.
He's like, whoa, 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 where's my food? Whoa, 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 whoa.
It's coming, Juno. It's coming. Last one, which before Juno so rudely interrupted, but you were doing a brilliant link to my last question, which
yes.
is how many fucks do you give?
None.
Really, none?
No, not a single. I mean, for the important things, i.e. friends, family, everything, absolutely blumming everything, I'd lay down the life. you know, that kind of intensity. But for everything else in life, oh no, I'm backtracking now, aren't I? Am I allowed to backtrack on this question?
Yeah, you are. People often do, actually.
It's funny that, isn't it? Because you want to go, yeah, not at all. And then you start to, you know, start to think. I think you've got to keep things in perspective. That's what it is. Look at what's important around you and what really matters and who really matters. So, yeah, I mean, when it comes to things like, you know, me writing, fledgling that it is, and the double act with Perks and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's sacrosanct, you know, but everything else, nah, meaningless tosh. Love the word tosh. I'm glad I got that in.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Oh, so, so fun, Sam.
Thank you for listening. You can hear a new episode of The Shift each Tuesday on Acast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what you hear, please do rate, review, and follow, because it really does help other people find us. And if you'd like to know more about my own experience of shifting, my book, The Shift, How I Lost and Found Myself After 40, and You Can Too, is out now in paperback. See you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.